This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow.
Lo strumento che noi abbiamo fatto ci ha permesso di rilevare nel continuo di questo elemento.
That's Gianpaolo Giuliani, a research technician at Italy's National Institute for Nuclear Physics, and it's one of the countless interviews he's done this week. He spends his days at the lab working with instruments that detect neutrinos produced by collapsing stars, but he has a passion on the side, and that is seismology. He has his own seismic instruments feeling the movements of the Earth below, and he monitors them regularly. And what makes this story more interesting is that a few weeks ago, he measured a strange emission of radon gas from the Earth's crust, and from that observation, he predicted that a disastrous earthquake would strike Abruzzo region on Sunday, March 29th. Well, that Sunday passed uneventfully, no earthquake. Scientists criticized him for straying too far outside his field, and he was reported to the police for scaremongering. But a week later, the big one shook the region, leaving hundreds dead, and now Giuliani wants an apology. Our question today, could there be something to his method, or was it just a coincidence? Here to talk about it is Susan Huff, a seismologist with the U.S. Geological Survey in Pasadena. She joins us by phone from a seismology meeting in Monterey. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Huff.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We've heard about this radon theory before, haven't we?
Yes. It goes back at least to the 70s, the idea that this gas might be released as a precursor to earthquakes.
Mm-hmm. And does it really carry any water?
Not that most the mainstream community believes. There have been a lot of observations, and people looked at it a lot in the 70s. And the closer they looked, the more they, you know, you sort of see a blip in radon, and then you see an earthquake sometimes. But when you try to show that there's a statistical correlation, it's never been borne out.
So it could be just a coincidence.
Yeah, well, it could be a complete coincidence. It could be that radon occasionally does get released when you have, we do have foreshocks. Mm-hmm. To a lot of earthquakes. And when you have little earthquakes, you are shifting things around underground. It's possible that sometimes that does release radon, and so maybe sometimes there is a radon signal.
Yeah.
That has something to do with the earthquake. The problem is it's just all too complicated to say that one follows the other.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember back in those days, there were all kinds of supposedly predictive measures. You had the lights that might appear coming up from the movement of the Earth causing some piezoelectric. You had all kinds of water rising in wells, animals taking to the hills, all kinds of things like that, remember?
Yeah, no, there was sort of a heyday in the 70s when people were optimistic, and scientists were very optimistic. There were some promising results that came out of different directions, China, Russia. There was sort of this Cold War thing where the Ruskies and the Chinese were ahead of us, and, you know, we needed to invest and catch up. But it was just the closer we looked at all these methods, the more they just sort of evaporated on us.
1-800-989-8255 is our number talking about earthquake predictions. But in fact, there was a reel I remember back in the 80s. There was in Parkfield, there was a whole section of the San Andreas Fault area set up to see if you could actually predict one or see what kinds of precursors might be when an earthquake hit.
Yeah, that was the one prediction that the mainstream seismological community sort of endorsed, that this moderate earthquake would hit Parkfield within 4 or 5 years of 1988, and that was based on a sequence of moderate earthquakes that had happened supposedly every 22 years.
Right.
And so there was this, you know, prediction, and then 88 came and went, 92 and 93, and there was a lot of debate, but most of the instruments stayed in, and then the earthquake finally did happen, but it was in, oh, gosh, it was 2004 or 2005. But it was
just 20 years too late.
it was 37 years instead of 22. A lot of people consider it a qualified success because seismologists said this part of the San Andreas is going to break. It's going to be magnitude 6, and it's going to be within in about 22 years. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't completely wrong. So,
But no real predictive strategy came out of that.
Well, no, not in the experiment was designed to sort of trap the next big one and look for subtle changes that would give you a meaningful short-term prediction that you could hang your hat on. You can't, if you predict an earthquake within a few years, you really can't take a lot of action to, but if it's within a few days, that's the kind of prediction we want. And so we were looking to see if there were changes.
Mm-hmm.
in the ground, and it was really a negative result. There was nothing picked up on all these sensors right before the earthquake happened.
Well, if you had a lot of smaller quakes, let's say four shocks, as you did in Italy, would you expect a big one to follow?
Okay, we do know that about half of all earthquakes have four shocks, and that's the one precursor that we sort of believe is real. The problem is that most small earthquakes are not four shocks. So you can't, when we have a small quake, say in California, we know there's a 5% chance that it's going to be followed by something bigger within 3 days. And so that gives you a higher probability.
Yeah.
But it's a fairly weak one, so you can't sound alarm bells every time you have little earthquakes.
Because you have a lot of them every day, right?
Yeah.
Like dozens of them.
Yeah, and we don't know. There's no way to tell a foreshock from a garden variety little earthquake until something bigger happens.
Mm. Has your office been deluged with calls about this Italian scientist?
Well, a number of the seismologists all left for Monterey. So
get out of town.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many. I suspect there are calls coming in to Caltech, to the USGS. There are calls that are reaching the meeting here because obviously it's a big news story.
So just to set the record straight, that probably had nothing to do with the earthquake.
It possibly did. It possibly didn't. One problem, I was thinking about it. We have big radon release, and then there's an earthquake, and you think, okay, surely, they're tied together. They might be. But in 1989, a whole bunch of people came to a baseball stadium in San Francisco for a World Series game, and there was an earthquake. And they were very close in time, and I could say that World Series games are a precursor to earthquakes. And it's absurd.
There's a thought.
But, yeah, the point is that sometimes you just have coincidences, and how do you know it's not a coincidence?
All right. Where's the game played this year? Well, we don't know yet, so we'll have to watch out. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Huff, for taking time to be with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Susan Huff is a seismologist at the U.S. Geological Survey in Pasadena, California.